This is the Beauty Authority Podcast, hosted by Dr. Vicky Bello
and Katrina Razon.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Beauty Authority Podcast. I am Dr. Vicky Bello, cosmetic dermatologist and surgeon.
I am Katrina Razon, yoga teacher, holistic health coach. Let's talk about anything beauty, health, and wellness.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Vicky Bello, and I am with Kat Razon.
Hi, everyone. It's Katrina Razon here. And joining us today is a special guest named Tanya Maria Aguila. And we're super excited to have her on the show because we are going to talk about Pilates and the benefits of physical movement as it relates to your well-being.
We're also going to talk about yoga. So you're the expert on that, Kat. We decided to talk about this because everybody needs to exercise, but I think a lot of people, when they think exercise, maybe they think Zumba or maybe running, jogging, biking, spinning, or weightlifting. But we as women, I think, would be doing our bodies a big favor by going into the softer side of exercise. So that would include yoga and Pilates. So I'm going to give the mic over to you guys because you know a lot more about this, and I'll just interject whatever I can. But can you discuss this whole thing about why softer exercises or stretching like yoga and Pilates are better for the bodies, or we all need that as well?
Absolutely. And just to give our listeners some background on Tanya, she is an entrepreneur and the co-founder of One Life, a chain of boutique Pilates and physical therapy studios in Manila. She is multi-certified in Pilates, yoga, and a movement professional. She's a big champion of local businesses and brands, and she strongly believes in two advocacies, self-care and women empowerment. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am a big fan of the two of you, just to get that out there. And I'm really happy to be here.
It's such an honor to have you with us today, Tanya. Please tell our listeners more about One Life. I know that during the lockdown and during the early days of the pandemic, your studio were really fast in switching to offering online and virtual one-on-one private sessions with your clients. Have you always offered that as a service, or did you guys have to adapt really quickly given the situation?
So, well, One Life is actually a really specialty studio because most fitness studios in Manila, they do group classes, right? And One Life has ever since focused on one-on-one training because we believe that no body is the same. And we've adjusted our method to make sure that we highly personalize each session for every woman. And during the lockdown, I guess it's our luck because it's very easy to translate the personal training online through virtual personal coaching, and so far it's been great for us.
That's wonderful to hear because, you know, a lot of people, as Dr. Vicky mentioned earlier, you know, they're obsessed with running, they're obsessed with training for triathlons and marathons.
Yes.
However, the first thing that we feel after doing a lot of time with high intensity trainings is we feel it on our knees. And
yes.
A lot of people also have a misconception that if I do low impact, then it's not going to change my body in the way I want it to be because I'm not sweating. But can you tell us more about why the benefits of low impact exercises for people? Because I know that a lot of men who do Pilates as well.
Yes. Actually, the inventor of the method Pilates is Joseph Pilates. He's a man. And if you see his photos, he's very, very fit. And I think the one great principle about Pilates that makes it so effective is that it focuses on making sure that you use all your muscles uniformly. Some exercises, they tend to focus a lot on just a few muscles. For example, running, you use a lot of your lower extremity muscles only, but you tend to forget the upper extremity. And with Pilates, you're forced, or the method makes sure that you use your core and your extremities in unison. So you work everything from the deep muscles to the superficial muscles evenly, and it comes out that you have a nice, long, lean, toned body, and one that works very efficiently and one that is free from any pain because it's balanced when when you use it, and there's flexibility, there's strength. It's really just such a great method for everybody. And one thing that I like about it is that you said it yourself, when you're young, it's great to do high intensity stuff. But at a certain point, you know, for example, me, I was running a lot, and I actually went to Bello because I noticed that my face was starting to sag as I was running long distances. And when that happened, my derma in Bello told me, oh, it must be the running from all that repeated muscle stress on the face as you hit the ground, correct?
Boog, boog, boog.
Bug, 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 bug talaga siya.
And for some reason, running seems to burn a lot of fat from the face. Of course, we need fat on our face to look young. If you have nothing anymore, then you look haggard and old. Correct. But it's really also a lot of the gravity just pulling it down. I've been doing Pilates for a really long time. I've been doing it for like 20 years. Because I have a bad case of scoliosis. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have, you know, that just throws your body so unevenly towards one side, and my core is strong on the right but not on the left.
I found
Pilates to be extremely good for it, and I like the way, because I do a lot of bodybuilding as well, which I think is important, because as you get your muscle, you need your muscles to be a little more defined and a little bigger so that you burn calories even when you're just sitting down and talking. But if you just do all that weight bearing exercise, then you end up with a lot of pain in your neck, shoulders, lower back. So I like Pilates because it lengthens my muscles. So then instead of looking squat and heavy, then I look longer. But as Kat said earlier, you have to combine. So we're not saying that you only do Pilates. We're saying that you have to do some sort of stretching like yoga and Pilates. We'll talk about yoga later, but while we have Tanya here, we'll talk about Pilates. So what are... You do develop long muscles, and I think also a very good core. So the core is your abdominal muscles, right? And everything begins there. So for all the women out there who have given birth, another advantage of Pilates is that it really improves your pelvic
floor muscles. Yeah.
So tell us how it improves sex. And so people, their husbands will pay for the wives' Pilates.
Oh, yeah. You know what? In the studios, a lot of wives go to me and they tell me, you know what? I'm only telling you this, but my husband is saying that I should keep on going to Pilates because our sex life has really improved. And it's
so
true.
Do you teach the chopper, the helicopter thing and stuff like that?
There is actually some exercises in Pilates called helicopter where you move your legs around. And I think, you know, it really helps with the pelvic floor. But kidding aside, though, because Pilates tends to really, you know, let you zone into working with your core correctly, you're able to really work even the pelvic floor, which supports the entire back and which supports, you know, carrying all the organs from down under. And when that pelvic floor is healthy, especially for moms, you tend to not suffer from postnatal conditions like incontinence and hernias, and overall a better sex life too, because the muscles that control the pressure down there is just healthy.
Okay, so pelvic floor, you need to tighten. If you're getting loose after giving birth, of course, when a baby's head passes to the vaginal canal,
it just stretches so much.
Of course,
right?
It expands it, so you need to contract it. Your incontinence would be like if you're jogging or laughing or coughing. So if a little wee comes out, that means that you have pelvic incontinence because your pelvic floor isn't strong and there's a little, you know, leak that's happening.
Correct.
It's called plumbing.
And mindset wise, when that happens to a girl, it just is so, you know, it's just a downer. And when you don't feel great when you're having sex, or, you know, when you're just wearing clothes and you're so scared that something might come out of there, even your mental and social health feels bad, right?
Of course, of course. The pelvic floor is definitely one of the most overlooked muscles in the core. And for listeners, if you are seeing influencers out there who aren't certified offering classes on abs, automatic red flag, because you have to target the entire core, and that includes your pelvic floor and your TVA muscles. And you know, we see a lot of people in social media who pose with, you know, their butt sticking out, and we call this the sexy butt. And it's actually really bad for your posture. And we call that the anterior tilt. And Tanya, can you explain to us why this sticking out your butt is terrible for your posture in the long term?
Okay, so I'm just going to geek out here for a bit. So your spine is not flat like that. I mean, it's not straight from head to your butt. And it has natural curves. Unfortunately, sometimes the curves, you know, gets exaggerated in certain directions. So, for example, what you're saying for the low back, sometimes it's too popped out at the butt. And in the long run, when you don't fix that, it's going to cause a lot of problems like low back pain, maybe a pot belly from the front, or if you're too kuba, when you're too hunched, meaning the curve above the waist towards your head is also too rounded, then you're going to run into problems like back, upper back pain, stiff shoulders, and so on. Right now, actually, one big problem is also the text neck, when your head is jutting forward so much because you're looking down on devices, and that hurts so much. And just like with anything, with food or anything that has anything to do with health, anything that's not in balance is going to end up bad. And what worries me nowadays is I see a lot of people online posting a lot of photos that looks great, but in functionality, you know, I think to myself, and oh no, that girl's gonna have lots of back pain in the future.
Right.
Tanya, do you think you could give us some tips, just practical tips, like how to sit in the car or how to sit in a chair? I mean, because a lot of people, of course, are going to tell them how to get in touch with you and to have Zoom classes. But
thank you.
You know, for the people who are really just, you know, what things can they change in their daily lives that would help them that are Pilates-based?
Okay. One thing that you have to remember is that an optimal spine position for everybody is different. And what's important is that you're always unconsciously working your core. Sometimes people say they have back pain, and then when we talk to them, it's really because they don't have any awareness about their core. And a lot of the alignment in your body and your posture really starts out with having a strong and functional core. And one of the things I want them to remember is that when you're trying to either sit down or stand up or walk, one thing you have to remember is that the back of the head, I'm going to make this in very, very simple terms, the back of the head, the back of the upper back, and the flat portion of your hips or your bum has to be in alignment. In front, you have to remember that your lowest ribs must feel connected to the top hip bones. It's very technical.
Again, your lowest ribs must feel connected to the hip bone?
The front hip bones, upper hip bones.
Okay. So I think another way to say that, because I that's one of my biggest problems. 20 years of Pilates, I still don't do it. Is you kind of have to close your ribs, right?
Yes.
You kind of have to close it. Not going to hyperextend and, you know,
shut
my boobs out.
Correct. One of the things that I usually tell my students is that, and in its simple terms, you feel like your belly button is pulling in towards your back.
Okay.
Or one of the things people tend to forget is sometimes they think having abs is all there is to having a strong core. But actually, sometimes an overdeveloped six-pack is also bad for you because it causes posture problems too, right, Kat?
Yeah, and it causes all sorts of issues with your back.
Sometimes when people have abs, it pops out. And while on photos it looks great, posture-wise, that's going to cause a lot of problems because it means it's overdeveloped. So one thing I want you guys to start looking at is a flat, you know, flat abs versus popping abs. It's hard to explain it on
basically just stop being obsessed with getting the six-pack abs because it's actually not good for you.
Because I'm kind of obsessed. Why do you say it's not good for us, Kat?
As Tanya was saying, that if it's overdeveloped, then it kind of like it brings this imbalance by bringing us to this rounded like upper like back. Yeah. And it creates all sorts of imbalances in the body. Whereas to really achieve that flat appearance, you need to work the TVA, the transverse abdominis muscle, correct, which works with the pelvic floor. And the way to work that is through breathing, actually.
Yeah. Breathing. Yeah, we're going to get into that. So one thing is to do that. And the other, I don't know, shoulder and neck pain. What do you suggest lattice-wise?
So shoulder and neck pain, you know, right now, it's really all because of our device use. We're looking down on our phones, we're looking down on our tablets. When we do Zoom, maybe the setup is not optimal for us and we're still looking down. And one thing that I can give them in terms of advice is that make sure that when you look at your devices, it's eye level.
Okay. And even looking down.
Even the laptop. Otherwise, you're looking down. And also, Doc Vicky, that's going to cause problems again, beauty-wise, because our skin's going to sag. I noticed that.
You're going to have a double chin.
Double chins now.
And I know it's because I'm always looking down. They call it the
neck, right?
Tech neck, folds on the neck.
Tech neck, correct.
So,
and it's so bad.
Be careful.
So young and with double neck, double chin na. And it's just so sad because even I have it. And I realized some of the exercises in Pilates that work with it is really, you know, exercises that ensure your head, neck, and shoulders are organized. And you do that in a plank. Doing planks every day in the right form really helps with realigning your head, neck, and shoulders. In Pilates also, there are spinal articulation exercises like standing roll downs, which everybody can do basically from the head to the neck, then the bones in the back. You slowly just roll your spine up and down while standing up.
So should I take a break? For example, we're doing Zoom. And I know a lot of people work from home and then they're there. Like I see my son. As the day goes on, he's really becoming more and more guba. What's the right word for guba in English? I don't know.
Guba? Hunched.
Hunchback. So, like, can you take a break like every hour and do something? Roll your shoulders or what would you say?
Yes.
What? Shake your neck? I don't know.
Yes, roll your shoulders. And I feel every, even less, Doc, even every 15 minutes, I suggest everybody just stand up, walk around, you know, move your hands, arms around, look from left to right, up and down. Simple movements, functional movements, because if you just get your body stuck in a certain position, your muscles are going to develop stuck in that position and that's going to be a habit. You have to break the pattern, right? And so what you have to do is just every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes, break your pattern, walk around, do something functional, roll your shoulders, reach for something.
Don't reach for chips, please.
Don't reach for chips.
Yeah. Reach for the, don't
and
reach for
the proper sleeping position. We were talking about that earlier, Tan. Kat?
Yeah. You want to go through this, Kat? But again, the spinal position for everybody is different. Some people have scoliosis, meaning they might have to pad up if they're a side sleeper, a certain part of the body. If you sleep with a head forward posture, you might need a supportive pillow just to, you know, have that gap between the back of the head and the bed more supported. But at the end of the day, you have to get your spine in a sleeping position where your spine is in alignment, not drooping down on one side or not overly rounding somewhere or not overly arching. And
oh my gosh, I'm so guilty of coiling up on my bed like a baby.
The fetal
like
position. A little fetus.
So yeah, exactly. Baby. I love that. Well, and I know it's so bad for me.
And commercial though, fetal position, they said is great for making babies.
Okay.
Well, I'm not at that
Kat doesn't know anything about that.
Still young.
Anyway, so Dance, how can we get in touch? How can the people get in touch with you?
Yeah, everybody can find One Life Studio on Instagram at One Life Studio. We do specifically specialize in one-on-one training because we believe that no one size fits all when it comes to fitness. Don't worry if you are a certain level, if you're a beginner or advanced, because it's personalized. We make sure that the program is fit to your needs and goals. And yeah, just send us a DM on Instagram and the team will help them out.
Okay, so everyone, please contact Tanya. I think you owe it to your body and yourself. You only have one body. Take care of it. Tanya, thank you so much for guesting on our podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you
so much, Tanya. It was such a pleasure to be with you guys. I am a big fan. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Stay safe. Bye, Tans.
Bye.
Bye. Hi guys, before we move on with the rest of the show, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. If you're a podcaster and you need help with your show's data or even monetizing your show, go visit podmetrics.co and sign up for free using my code BEAUTYAUTHORITY. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to the Beauty Authority Podcast with Dr. Vicky Bello and Katrina Razon.
Okay, so Kat, now we're going to you. I just wanted to make sure we didn't run out of time. So yoga, how in the world did you get started on yoga?
Well, the funniest part is that I was practicing yoga since graduating from high school, like more than 10 years ago. But I started getting really serious about the practice only this year because of lockdown. And it was the only thing that really helped me stay grounded in a time where I felt like I was going crazy, like losing my mind, being so frustrated because we weren't even allowed to walk out of our houses in March. And so when I started delving deeper into it, I realized that it was really helping me. So how could I help people as well? Because I know that if it helped me a lot, I know that it can help a lot of people in my community make sense with the times we're living in and to just make sure that we just stay grounded and healthy. Because again, all you need to practice yoga is a mat. And with a lot of the studios closed, and yoga is more than just the physical practice. It's also largely spiritual. There's meditation, there's breath work.
Yes, and it's breath work. How important is the breath work? It seems like whatever I read, breath is, of course, especially under COVID, we really need to make our lungs strong because it's the first, it seems to be the place that coronavirus wants to attack first, right? And it seems to say, there are a lot of symptoms for coronavirus, COVID-19, but it seems that the lungs always get the brunt of it. So is it important to do like inhale? Because, you know, like in hot yoga, you do six second inhale and then exhale. Is that more for relaxation? Is that somehow triggering something physiologically in the body?
Well, the most important about the component about pranayama means breath work, is the breath is our life. Like we can't live without breathing, but we also have to understand the physiological effects of our breath, because breathing, as we know, can be both triggering or it could be relaxing. So if you tend to breathe in through the mouth, and that's very bad to be breathing through the mouth, you should always be inhaling through the nose and not inhaling through the mouth. And what happens is that it triggers our sympathetic nervous system, which is the flight or fight mode in our brain. And we often face panic attacks or stress, or we end up fighting with our partners because we are in that zone. Mm-hmm. But
wait
when
a
we
minute.
Take a moment.
Question: can I just, do we exhale through our mouth or through our nose? I'm very confused about this. Okay.
Both. Exhale only out through the mouth and through the nose, but never inhale through the mouth, because it will just lead to all sorts of issues. And that's a whole different subject for a different time. But the bringing some awareness to your breath can really bring you into an area where you could change your reactions to situations and change your reaction to, you know, everything in your daily lives. And when you work with your breath and movement the way that yoga does, it brings you to the present moment, because you can't think about your issues at work, your issues with anything else, your personal issues, you're just in that moment. And I think that's what makes yoga very special, is because it has this connection to it.
So from what I understand from yoga, you kind of twist your body into poses where you stop the blood from really circulating in a certain place. You hold it and then you release it, and then the blood rushes in. So just like a waterfall can clean out dirt and stuff like that, that's what the new rush of blood does. Is that correct, or is that mistaken?
So the poses are called asana, and they're just one component of the yoga tradition. I do have to say that there are a lot of people out there who are making false claims about some of the poses. So there are people who will claim that a pose will cure diabetes. It's not true. It's not true. You can't be cured of your physical ailments to that degree. However, what those poses can do for you is, besides the physiological effects of stretching out the fascia, placing you into this, what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the more relaxed center of the brain. And the more you hold the poses, the more that you're lengthening out the fascia. And the fascia is, again, one of the most important parts of our body. And if we rest, the fascia atrophy. And so it's detrimental to the aging process. And we can reverse the aging process the more we stretch through yin yoga, through vinyasa. And that's what's amazing about the practice, because if you want a more relaxing experience, there are different options available to you.
Mm-hmm. So yin yoga is fine. I fall asleep every time I do yin. For those who don't know, you hold a pose, a very easy pose, for like
5 minutes.
Or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it relaxes. Then, you know, all that, because we hold so much tension in our joints and stuff like that, then it just relaxes it. And then you do lengthen it. And that's what I need to do all the time, because I tend to get stressed all day. But it's so relaxing that you actually fall asleep. So for people who think yoga is so hard, yin yoga is really the easier one. And, you know, you're not supposed to feel any pain. They even put blocks if you can't stretch low enough. But why are there so many different kinds of yoga? Is there one particular one that's the best, or are you supposed to do a variety? And the hot yoga thing, is that something that's really good? Does it help you stretch more? Does it help you detox more, or is that a myth?
So with modern postural yoga, modern postural yoga that we see today, mm-hmm. is not an ancient practice. This was a practice that has only been developed over the past 200 years. So Warrior II, that pose did not exist 1,000 years ago. It only existed 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because, to simplify the complex history, yoga actually was influenced by gymnastics in Swedish gymnastics. So that's why you see the handstands, you see all the arm balances, and you see all these different types of poses. And what generally happens with a practice is it gets interpreted and it evolves. So many different practitioners adopt their own system to adjust it to modern bodies, because, you know, 100 years ago, no one had phones and no one had TechNet, right? So the more you adjust your system to fit the needs of the modern person, like there are, like, you know, controversial yoga teachers in the past who would claim things that were, like, not medically or scientifically verified. And as a result, there are more people who are creating more functional-based yoga practices without dropping the tradition, because you need to honor the roots of yoga. And one thing to say about hot yoga is it's actually very dangerous for your body, because the heat, you're practicing in a extreme environment. And what happens is the heat tricks your brain into thinking that you're more flexible than your body can actually take. And so you find yourself saying, oh, wow, like, I didn't realize that I could touch my toes. And then you push yourself some more. But what ends up happening is you end up hurting your joints in the long run.
So you're a believer in creating the heat from inside, because that's what other people say. If you actually do yoga properly, I mean, if you do it, you know, with as much concentration as it deserves, then you're creating the heat, generating the heat from inside and not you know, cheating and getting it from the outside.
Absolutely. And that concept is called, in Sanskrit, it's called tapas. And that heat means the purification. So you're in a metaphorical sense, you're cleansing out all of the negativity, all the anxiety in your body as you burn, basically. You're burning calories, you're burning the anxiety, you're burning away all of your worries in that given moment. And you're also just getting stronger as well. It's a great strength building practice.
So we don't have to get into these headstands and stuff. Just because we can't do it doesn't mean we're a failure. Yoga, there's no such thing as failure, right? It's just being in the present moment.
That's the issue now with, you know, like social media culture is it's too focused on these extreme poses with people who are hypermobile. So hypermobile is just like you see those flexi people with like the crazy back bending. And just because, you know, everyone can't achieve or everyone can't reach all of those poses because we're all built differently on the bio individual level. So that even goes like to the depth of our hip sockets, you know, and it's the mature thing to do to understand where you are and to meet yourself where you are in that practice. So it's a great habit because yoga just makes you do an ego check. Because if you think, oh, like I'm going to jump into a headstand, you're going to put some strange pressure on your cervical spine that you don't want. Mm-hmm. And we really just want to work with where we are and be honest with ourselves. And from there, move forward. And, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about progress.
Progress. Anyway, so Kat, can you please tell them, because I know you conduct classes, right? And how do they reach you if they want to do yoga with you?
Yeah, so I offer live Zoom classes. You can contact me on Instagram where I post my weekly schedules, or I offer free classes on my YouTube page. It's youtube.com/KatrinaRazanYoga. And I hope to see you guys on the mat and practice with you soon.
So everyone get moving. The one thing that's very important with coronavirus prevention, since we're still here, is to move your body, okay? And breathing properly is the best. But just, you know, when you're doing Zoom, maybe you can stand up while you're doing it. And as you learned from Tanya earlier, make sure that it's eye level. Stop looking down so we don't get these double chins, although it's great for my business because I'm doing a lot of skin tightening, melting of fat there. It's just accumulating. Anyway, we'll see you in our next podcast. Everybody stay safe. Take care, Kat. Thank you for being a host and a guest. I get two for one with you. But I really want you to share your knowledge because your knowledge on everything is so in-depth. I mean, you don't just teach yoga, but you understand the history, you understand the physiology, the anatomy, and that's exactly the kind of person we need in this thing. For those of you, some people have been complaining that we're a bit too serious, but I think everybody's already giving you enough laughter. We want to give you knowledge because knowledge is power. So yes, we'll try to inject a few giggles here and there, but in the end, this is really edutainment. So everybody stay safe, take care, Kat. See you next podcast.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Beauty Authority podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the show so you won't miss out on new episodes.